Good morning. And to all fathers, a happy Father's Day. And I see that Mark gets to celebrate Father's Day all alone with his children today. I'm sure Sarah's made a fine lunch for Mark. She's like, huh? I've entitled my sermon this morning, based on the King James, Begotten by the Gospel. And we will be talking about a type of fathership this morning, because children are wonderful things, both children of the faith and our children by birth. In the New King James, I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 15. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. We should never study scripture out of context. When one does such things, it's the birth of false doctrine to start off with. So let us take the trouble to find out the context of our text this morning. Paul was the one who was speaking. Paul was a devout Jew. He had been chosen by God to be the apostle to the Gentile world. So his ministry was to preach to those who had many gods, who didn't know the one true God. And his ministry brought him to the city of Corinth. Corinth was a big city for its day. It was a great industrial and a great trade center in the world. Corinth had a lot going for it. It was a thriving city. It was an educational center. It was well known for its schools of philosophy and its halls of rhetoric. It was the capital city of the Roman province of Achaia, modern Greece and Macedonia. So it had some political importance. But it was best known, even in its own day, it was best known for its wickedness and moral corruption. The most insulting thing that you could say to a person of that day was when you charged them with living the life style of the Corinthians, the Corinthian lifestyle. Corinth was a debased city, a degenerate city. Their main goddess was Diana, the goddess, the Roman goddess of love, the Roman goddess of beauty. And you can imagine how they worshipped her. Acceptance of Christianity would mean a radical change for these people. Nevertheless, by God's grace, Paul was able to plant and start a Church of Christ in Corinth. It was an adulterous and in a sex-orientated climate. As you might well think, these new Christians had much to learn. And they had many questions for the Apostle Paul about Christianity and about morality that comes from God. And they had a lot of problems that are not so uncommon even for modern America. For one thing, we learn that they were divided over preachers. Now, is that not something that's happened often in America? But they were divided over preachers. Some were claiming, hey, we follow what Paul says. Others said, well, we follow what Apollo says. And still others, well, we follow what Peter says. And those who opposed Paul had some unkind things to say about him and about his apostleship. So while this letter was to the Corinthians, it is also to us. written in a spirit of love, though Paul wrote as one with authority. And in context, in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 4 and 15, 14 and 15 we read, I am not trying to make you feel ashamed. I am writing this to give you a warning as my own dear children. For though you may have 10,000 teachers in Christ, you do not have many fathers. Through the good news, I have begotten you through the gospel. It was by Paul that these Corinthians had first heard the gospel message. There was no one who would love them more than Paul did. And is this not true? Fathers, we probably don't always express to our children our love as much as the mothers do. The mothers just have a motherly way. But you know, fathers love their children too. Even if we don't always express it so good. I know, and I don't want to embarrass him, but Stefan is one of the greatest presents that my God has ever given me. And I'm thankful that he is my son. And Paul loved his children. You see, he brought the gospel to these people and they were born again through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul considered them also his children. And so Paul's love for the Corinthians was great. Even though the Corinthians were not the most obedient of children. The terminology is an obvious reference to their being born again. And when we are going to talk about being born again, we must go to John chapter 3. The Apostle John wrote about an encounter between Jesus and a Pharisee, a ruler of the Pharisees, with the name of Nicodemus. Because John describes the process by which one becomes a child of God through faith. Let's take a look at it. John chapter 3. And we'll be looking at verses 1 through 8. Let me turn there myself. The story begins quite simply. One more page. There was a man named Nicodemus who was one of the Pharisees and an important Jewish leader. The Pharisees consisted of the largest, the strictest, and the most zealous sect among the Jews. So we know that Nicodemus was a very religious man and very zealous for his God. We are told he was an important Jewish leader, which more than likely meant he was a member of the Sanhedrin, which was the Supreme Council of the Jews. It was the highest tribunal of the Jews at the time in religious, civil, and criminal jurisdiction. So he was a man of some importance. He is mentioned two other times in the New Testament. In John 7, he is referred to as being an honest and a just man. And in John 19, he joined with Joseph of Arimathea in taking the body of Jesus from the cross and burying him before the Sabbath day arrived. Nicodemus had recognized Jesus' power and position as having come from God. In John 3, verse 2, he says, one night, Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, Teacher, we know you are a teacher sent from God because no one can do the miracles you do unless God is with him. Nicodemus recognized the power and authority of Jesus Christ as having come from God himself. And in answer to that, Jesus said something interesting. It appears Nicodemus recognized the authority of Christ, of the Christ in Jesus. And Jesus replies to Nicodemus, I tell you the truth. Unless one is born again, he cannot be in God's kingdom. Think about it. Nicodemus was a religious Jew. He was an honest, God-fearing man. He was of the tribe of Israel. He was through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And here was Jesus telling him, one who was born a Jew into the kingdom of God, that if he truly wanted to enter God's kingdom, he had to be born again. Just being Abraham's children at that point, at physical point, was not enough. Jesus letting him know, you need to be born again into a spiritual Israel. And I imagine that Nicodemus was surprised and shocked by the statement. They had eagerly and anxiously awaited the Christ. Nicodemus apparently was one of those. And here is Jesus telling him to be born again, or he will not be able to see the kingdom of God. Was he not born in the lineage of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob? It was generally assumed that the Jewish-born children of God, through their birth, would automatically be a part of that spiritual kingdom of God. But Jesus was saying, no, this is not true. He said, the kingdom of God is not entitled to one because of physical birth. One needs to be born again, both Jews and Gentiles. I think this has to do with the destructive power of sin. But needless to say, Nicodemus was puzzled, as are a lot of people today. So he asked, but if a person is already old, how can he be born again? He cannot enter his mother's body again. So how can a person be born a second time? Nicodemus did not understand the words of Jesus. So what do you suppose Jesus had meant by being born again? Well, let us take a look at this. First off, there is no mention of a spine-tingling experience in the new birth. Oh yes, joy. But not an event that is so spine-tingling and extraordinary. Secondly, we are never told that this birth should be equated to what happened to the apostles in Acts chapter 1. Nor are we told that this birth in any way has anything to do with the phenomenon of tongue speaking. The Bible just doesn't teach these things. There is nothing in the New Testament that relates the birth Jesus talked about to any of these three events. What does Jesus mean when he says, unless one is born again, he cannot be in God's kingdom? Well, let's read verse 5. In verse 5, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Unless one is born from water and the Spirit, he cannot enter God's kingdom. In verse 5, Jesus substituted the word again, born again, with the phrase, from water and the Spirit. Let us learn this morning what the water is and what the Spirit is. Being born of water is baptism. Of this there can be no doubt. The Scriptures themselves make it clear. In Titus 3, verse 4 through 6, we read, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior was shown, He saved us because of His mercy. It was not because of good deeds we did to be right with Him. He saved us through the washing that made us new people through the Holy Spirit. God poured out richly upon us that Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ our Savior. The washing of regeneration is being born of water. And being made new people through the Holy Spirit is being born of the Spirit. The passage is unmistakably a reference to John chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 5, about being born again of water and of Spirit. Scholarship bears out this thought. A great Presbyterian scholar by the name of Albert Barnes, in his Barnes Notes, for this verse, John 3, verse 5, simply wrote, "By water here is signified baptism." And in Erdman's Handbook to Christian Beliefs on page 339, here is what Erdman says, or what the scholar here said. Water refers to baptism. It then adds the following, "Baptism has always been seen as important in the mystery of regeneration. To be baptized, to enter the church, and to be a Christian all point to the same thing in the New Testament." So says scholarship. Even in Old Testament, water played a very important role in cleansing. Water has always played an important role with God. Even when we think of Noah. I say these things merely that we know, a lot of people like to say, that's Church of Christ doctrine. No. This is biblical truth as revealed by God Himself through His Holy Spirit. Since being born of water is baptism, what is being born of the Spirit? First off, it is being begotten by the gospel. Like any other, the new birth consists of a begettal. This is Old English. Or a conception, a deliverance, or a consummation. Paul says in the New King James, "I have begotten you by the gospel." He is the reason they heard the gospel. He is the reason that they could accept the gospel. Because he presented it. And that is how God brings the message to people. It must be taught. It must be preached. And Paul was this tool of God in the city of Corinth. Hearing the word of God, the incorruptible seed, they had believed in the gospel and thereby begotten by God. When the living and powerful word of God is preached and received by an honest heart, something great happens. It produces faith. People hear it and they believe it when their heart is honest. It always has and it always will. In Romans 10:17, Paul says, "So faith comes from hearing the good news. And people hear the good news when someone tells them about Christ." That explains why John in 1 John 5:1 said, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is God's child." To believe in something, first you have to hear it being taught. And so, faith comes by hearing the word of God. You see, Jesus said, this is in John 6:63, "It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh doesn't give life. The words I have told you are Spirit, and they give life." It is the Spirit of God that puts the life in the gospel by which we are begotten or born again. On another occasion, Jesus said, this is Mark 16:16, "Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who does not believe will be punished." It was not necessary for Jesus to say, he that believeth not and is baptized not shall be punished. It wasn't necessary because there is no birth until after a delivery has happened. Just like you can't have a baby without a father, they go together. If you don't believe, you're not going to be baptized. And so that is why Jesus simply says, anyone who believes and is baptized shall be saved. But anyone who does not believe will be punished. If you don't believe, you're not going to obey. There will be no birth. So there's no need to mention baptism in that particular point. Being born again implies a new beginning, a new life from above. Not to be confused with a physical birth and life. Jesus said, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter God's kingdom. That necessarily implies an active response on the part of the person who heard. That response being reception of the Word of God and obeying it. All Christians are born again by the gospel, just like they were in Corinth. There has never been known an instance of the new birth where the person had not heard and believed the gospel story of Jesus Christ, his crucifixion and his resurrection. Many people believe that the new birth is an act of the sovereign God, totally independent from the will of man. If that were true, and he so acted upon some to save them, but did not act to save others, then God would be responsible for every lost soul. But it is not true. For the Bible clearly teaches that each man is responsible for his own sin, and therefore he's responsible for coming to Christ and obeying. This is Ezekiel 18, verse 20. The person who sins is the one who will die. A child will not be punished for a parent's sin, and a parent will not be punished for a child's sin. Those who do right will enjoy the results of their own goodness. Evil people will suffer the results of their own evil. Being born of water and of spirit. God has called. Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you been born again? Jesus said, without the new birth, you cannot enter into God's kingdom. God has brought his message. Will you not respond? Will you not come this morning and wash away your sins in baptism? Will you not let the Spirit of God give you a new birth into Jesus Christ, living a new life? The Corinthians struggled in that new life, but they were still children of God. We may struggle, but we are still God's children when we have had the new birth. Have you been born in water and in spirit? If not, come as we stand and sing our invitation song.